When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Star Wars Hangout.
The best Star Wars Hangout in the galaxy. Hey, Star Wars fans, welcome back to Star Wars Hangout. I'm Ez.
And I am Lottie.
And we are back with Mandalorian Season 3, Episode 7, Chapter 23, The Spies. We've got a super quick non-spoiler reaction, and then we're going full spoiler. We've also got transmissions, we've got our own wild theories and predictions. So, let's go to Lottie. She's actually got a crazy theory that we are going to discuss later, which is epic. You don't think it's epic, but no. I'm telling you, when you said it to me, I was like, that's amazing. But first, let's get your initial thoughts, non-spoiler. Give me a few adjectives to describe this episode. How did you feel?
Loved it.
Loved it.
Loved it. It was fun, epic, intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just, I mean, I'm so excited for the last one to learn. Yeah. Who are the spies? That's the big question we are left with. And we just we watched the episode twice now.
Yeah, yes. And we went back with the lens, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
To like comb through and see who are the spies, what do we got going on here? So big deal, big topics. Gosh, I don't know. We're only a few days away, but we want to take a look at everyone's thoughts, share our theories, get them out there recorded, timestamp, so that way when we're correct, you guys can be like, they got it. They were right.
Yeah.
Right.
So how did you feel about it?
Yeah, for me, it was amazing. Absolutely amazing. There were several moments where the music kicks in and I was like, oh, this is awesome. It was heartwarming. And there were moments where I was like, I got chills.
Mm-hmm.
Absolute chills when things were said and things were done. And I was like, I remember I turned to you a couple of times. Yeah. This is absolute epic.
Yeah.
There were moments that were what the youngsters will call peak Star Wars. The tippy top, the peak, right? Peak of the mountain. For me it was fantastic. But all right, before we dive into the episode review though, let's give a few shout outs, go over some transmissions. We've got some really cool hangout option coming up later for our patrons, by the way, for our Jedi Masters. We are between Shell Cottage Radio and this podcast. We're going to be getting together, I think, at the end of May, right? We're going to be trying to do a little get your spatchka, come hang out. I want to say it's the last weekend
probably.
Of May. Yeah. Probably
Friday. Yep.
Yeah.
It's the last day of school.
We'll be celebrating. Yeah. The last day of school. Instead of going out with my colleagues, we'll be coming home to hang out with you guys and have a good time. So if you want to do that, if you want to come in and chat, it's very casual. It's literally just bring your favorite drink, come chat and say hi, meet everybody. We give a lot of shout outs on our shows and we want your voice to be heard on the show, whether that's through you actually send in an audio file, which I will play on the show. That would be
be cool.
That would be wild. I used to do that and I loved hearing different voices on the show. So I'll try to think of a way. You can always send it and share it in a Google Doc.
Can you send an audio file on Instagram?
I think so, yeah.
Can you save that as an audio file?
I'd have to hook my phone up to the old recorder and press play on
there
it.
There you go.
So, yeah, that would work too, I guess. But anyways, I would love to hear you guys' thoughts. And it's just cool to kind of hang out and get to know one another. So shout out to our Jedi Masters, Kayla, Amanda, Arna, and Andrew. Thank you guys so much for supporting the show there. All right, so I want to give a quick shout out to Jedi Master Adam, who was one of those guys who came over from Hyperspace Hangout, project I used to work on with my good buddy Matt, and just wanted to talk a little bit about that transition. So he says, hey, Ez, great to see your podcasting again. Are you no longer doing anything with Matt? I miss listening to you guys on the old Hyperspace Hangout and was devastated when you finished up there, but great to see you're both doing content. So cheers, mate. And that's Adam. I just wanted to throw that out to everybody who is sort of, I followed a bunch of people on Instagram, the social medias, because I wanted folks to know, hey, still over here doing some Star Wars content. But for Matt and I, we just kind of had to, my schedule, our schedule. I mean, we could be in Europe. We could be in Scotland. We might be in Costa Rica. We might be in Australia. Those are different time zones. And Ez has been going back to school at the same time as well, too. So I told Matt that just it was easier for us going forward to kind of make our own shows and go about that our own way. So I've got my traveling little Padawan with me. So I'm just teaching her everything that I know and still dishing Star Wars. One thing Ez has always wanted to do is just to be a part of the fandom. And Matt knows that and that he's the same way, which is we just want to be a part of the fandom, part of the conversation. And that's always been something that we're about. So good to hear that he's still podcasting. And by the way, go check out all of his his stuff. He's still dropping shorts over on Hyperspace Hangout, and the podcast is running strong there. So, but thanks to folks who have come over. Appreciate you guys, and this is really, really cool. So, along that line, somebody else who came over, Jedi Master Mike Armstrong, ba-boom, popping in here. I'm assuming you've watched Episode 7. So now we are, by the way, in transmissions, we are full spoiler. Just wanted to mention this. So I'm assuming you've watched Episode 7. I know Pelion comes from the Heir to the Empire trilogy, but he actually also makes an appearance in the Star Wars book, The Clone Wars, No Prisoners, as a captain of a Republic military ship, and has a story involving Anakin, Ahsoka, and Rex worth looking into. So I thought that was pretty neat, because we're going to talk about the Shadow Council today and who is Captain Pelion. Mm-hmm. Lottie now knows. We've been out driving around, and she got to hear some of the intro to
the first
Heir.
Couple minutes, yeah.
Yeah, the first chapter.
Okay.
The whole first chapter you got to hear, which is all Pelion and Thrawn.
Yeah.
Which was pretty wild, cool, right? So, anyway, yeah, that was really cool. We also have Master Tino. First off, is it just me, or does Carson Teva need his own show or a movie or something? Love that guy. Anyways, yes, you are absolutely correct. The actor who plays Carson Teva, Paul Sung-Hyung Lee, is a huge Star Wars fan. There are lots of pics of him out there cosplaying as different characters. He was on a big Canadian sitcom called Kim's Convenience. It's on Netflix. It's great. He played a character named Appa, which is dad in Korean, and that's how they knew of him. I guess his X-Wing helmet actually says Appa on it in Arabesh. Wow. Anyway, I'm a big fan of his, and I love seeing him in Star Wars. It's nice to see people's dreams come true. Master Tino. So shout out to him. Thank you, by the way, buddy. I appreciate all the... I love when people send me messages and rant. Like, they listen to the show. I always want people to, like, correct me if I'm wrong, confirm if I'm right, and then also add some context and make the show better. So this is great. I appreciate that comment, because I love this actor. He's awesome. And I'm going to have to go check out that show now.
I was going to say, remind me, Carson Teva.
Carson Teva. Yeah. He's the X-Wing pilot who was bouncing around.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Who found the abandoned ship and there's Beskar on there.
Beskar here, yeah. Okay. He's hanging out with Zeb as well, I think we got a comment here from somebody else. It might have been Arna about Zeb looking really cool, so I thought that was... I thought that was neat.
He looked really cool.
Yeah, he definitely did. Andrew, I can't remember if we mentioned this one or not, but I want to give a shout out to Jedi Master Andrew, because there's a tie-in here, and it has to kind of do with the Shadow Council. So I'm going to read this again, and if I have, just excuse me, because it's important, and I think it matters in this episode. Hello, guys. I've been thinking about all the tie-ins we have been getting dropped on us in all the projects. Tie-ins from Legends, connections to those stories, and the setting up of the build-up to the First Order and the effects of all of the now interweaving galaxy that is so big, but as they say in our real world, that is a small place. I have one question that I'm not sure if anyone has been talking about. Where is Allegiant General Pride? When will we see him? Is it possible that Pride is the one who is giving the orders to Gideon? Will he be revealed to us as he had been in the background to bring the First Order into supreme leadership? Is he giving the orders to Elijah Kane? Let me know what you guys think. It's just a thought that I had. I don't know if anyone is asking that question. I have many more thoughts, but I wanted to limit it to this for now. More on the way. Thank you, Andrew. And I gotta say, so General Pride, now he's talking about, like, who is giving orders to Elijah Kane. We do see in this episode, so that was two episodes, by the way, back when he had sent that in. So just for context. But it's an interesting question as to where is General Pride. Pride was someone who shows up out of nowhere. He's someone that is still out there available that we could use and pull in and make a connection, do something younger, like a younger version of him where he's giving orders to people, or he is a part of the First Order. We saw First Order represented in the Shadow Council, and I just wanted to say to Andrew, great thought, you know, because they are definitely tying us into those projects, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So really cool stuff there. And I do have a great transmission from Master Arna, who we will get to coming up. We're going to do a big recap sort of the end of Bad Batch. We didn't get a chance to talk about that yet. So when we do, he's got an interesting transmission about Omega connections to the Mandalorian and so on, which is really cool. So if you've seen the end of Bad Batch, you'll know there's a really, really big reveal there at the end that we definitely have to talk about. And it could very well tie into the Mandalorian. So yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Speaking of Mandalorians, I want to give a shout out to Mandalorian Jedi. Thank you for following me over on Instagram. Huge love talking there. It's just been great back and forth messages, and we're getting hyped. So he's blitzed through the entire podcast, and it's just freaking awesome. So, all right, let's dive into it. Let's get after it. What do you got? What are we thinking here? As we click through the episode, this episode is fascinating. There's a lot. It's a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. The recap was important. I love how they're doing that. They're showing us, like, who's going to be relevant or who's going to matter in this episode, because they showed us some of the backstory on Elijah Kane, and the episode is titled Spies. So we know that she is a spy now.
Yes.
Let's clarify something. I think people forgot this. We assumed she was a spy. We assumed she was working for someone. Mm-hmm. We didn't know exactly who or what or where, how and what. Yeah. So we've now figured we see the Imperial probe droid show up. It was a great shot of the neon lights and everything and that district that she's walking through there on Coruscant and reporting back to Pelion. Because you remember, she's actually standing nearby when Carson Teva comes in and she's this informant where she's informing on the things that are being said by the New Republic. Are they going to send aid to Navarro? Well, she said they're not going to. Well, then how did Navarro survive the pirate attack? So, right, the pirates are also working for Moff Gideon. So he's got some sort of collaboration going on with them and Elia Kane.
Yeah.
That was pretty wild. What'd you think about seeing her again here at the start of this episode?
It was just briefly, but it was enough for us to, like you said, it's just confirmation. Okay, we know this episode is called Spies. Here's our first spy. No question about it. Everyone knows, okay, Elia is the spy.
Yes.
But then it's called Spies.
Right.
So this whole entire episode, everyone's theorizing who is the other spy.
Right, right. So here's the very next scene, we go into the Shadow Council. And I want to make something clear to folks who maybe didn't realize this, but like when Moff Gideon. I can't talk today. When Moff...
Moff Gigglehead.
Whoa! When Moff Gideon is entering the Shadow Council there, you see all of those troopers on the side, right? All of those different ray shields that he's walking through. Really fascinating. He's on Mandalore. I guess what I didn't realize on a second watch through, I'm sort of like, wait, how long has he been there? This seems like a pretty established base. And the planet is cursed. They don't dare come back here. We learn that there are two bombings. They annihilate everyone. It's the Purge. They're trying to rid the galaxy of Mandalorians completely. So... Yeah. He's the guy behind that, and when we see him going to the Shadow Council, that is him right there requesting reinforcements to that location, which is near the Forge, near the Great Forge on Mandalore. Just kind of wild. So now to Lottie's theory. She has a theory here that we were discussing. It's just a quick one. It's
more like a thought.
It's a thought.
Yeah.
All right, that I'm going to develop into a theory.
Okay.
But Moff Gideon goes into this Shadow Council, which, first of all, the Shadow Council was sick.
Yes.
Absolutely sick. I love seeing all of these individuals here who are talking about the Imperial Remnant and what's going down. And I think you had questions that we're going to go over about the heir to the Empire and how are all these different groups sort of related.
Yeah.
But your idea here was that there's a spy, and maybe that spy is actually we might have a spy in that Shadow Council that might show up later. We might not actually see the second spy until we don't know. We've only seen one spy, really.
Right.
That's the big debate, is who's the other spy? Who are we thinking it could be? People think it's the Armorer, right? They think it's the Armorer. They think it's Axe Wolves. They think it's, it could be those Night Owls that show up that are on the boat.
Yes. And what's her name?
Casca.
Casca.
Yeah, Casca Reeves.
So
people think it's her.
Most people think we have another spy among the Mandalorians. I get it. Makes sense. And
absolutely,
there was a cool video about, why it makes the most sense that the Armorer is the spy. But there's also some things that kind of don't make sense when you look at it closely. And why not think of it this way, that you have a spy in each
camp?
Yeah.
So you've got a spy. You've got a spy for the Imperial Remnant in Elia Kane, who is there near the New Republic informing Gideon about stuff. But could there be a spy on the freaking Shadow Council or in their midst in some way? I just think we think spies means just two. There could be three. There actually could be a setup here for, we may find out that the Armorer or somebody else is the spy who sort of helped lure them into this trap or whatever. But I don't really know. See, the thing, what's confusing me is Moff Gideon is informed by Elia that they are trying to retake Mandalore and that he believes that's happening. So he asked for reinforcements. He knows they're coming in here. Now, if there was a spy on the inside of the Mandalorians, right, why wouldn't they have reported to Moff Gideon, right? Why is he so surprised? Yeah, why is he so surprised to hear from Elia that the actions there on Navarro did not quite work out?
Right.
Is it Axe Wolves and he didn't have time to make communication, or did he change, or what's the whole deal? He seems to be surprised about it. So he's being informed by Elia. I don't think he has more than one spy if that makes sense. I think people, when you think it's the armorer or you think it's Casca or you think it's whoever, you think that that spy is reporting back to Moff Gideon. I don't think so. Okay. Actually,
yeah.
I think if there is a spy in the Mandalorian camp, that spy is either reporting to Captain Pelion, who is reporting to Thrawn, or that person is reporting directly to Thrawn.
I was going to say, because Gideon is not a fan of Thrawn. He wants Thrawn out, basically. He's like,
who?
Gideon.
Oh, Gideon does. Yeah, yeah. Sorry, I thought you said Pelion. Yeah, yeah.
No, Gideon. No. He's like, have you heard anything about Thrawn? Where is he?
Yeah.
He's never showing up. Uh-huh. So I think it's time we take it into our own hands, right? And
right.
Another interesting part of this conversation on the Shadow Council was the Project Necromancer?
Project Necromancer. Are you kidding me? And so Hux is leading that. So that's Hux Sr. That's Armitage Hux. Wait, no, which one is it? I can't remember.
There's two, right?
There's two of them.
Father and son.
Father and son. This is the father. And he is in charge of, like, he took a group of individuals who go out and create the First Order. Mm-hmm. Emperor Palpatine's contingency plan is this whole thing. It's under the umbrella of Palpatine foresaw in Return of the Jedi two options, right? Either he wins and moves on and he has Luke Skywalker as his apprentice and here we go, or he fails. And if he fails, he has a contingency plan.
Backup plan.
Right? Just like Voldemort and all other Dark Lords, you've got, like, Horcruxes hidden in places, right. You know what's up. So, yes, that is part of that is Operation Cinder, burn the Empire down, bring out the best, the most radicalized individuals, mm-hmm. and move forward. Well, the burning down of the Empire or the, you know, it being shut down, because there are these peace accords, like a faction of the Empire has signed a peace treaty with the New Republic. The Imperial Remnant are these what they're calling warlords. They reveal in the Shadow Council, the New Republic thinks that we're just individual warlords.
Scattered,
yeah. We're not working together, but they sure as heck are.
And they should know better, because that's exactly what the Rebellion did, right?
Yeah.
You have, like, little fractions here, but they're actually working on a grand scheme.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyway.
Secret communication. Yeah. They're giving each other resources. So Gideon, you know, he wants Praetorian guards. He wants bombers. He wants TIE interceptors. So he's going to get a few of those things, because it seems like the large amount of resources right now are being held by Hux and Pelion. And by Pelion, I mean Thrawn. Right.
Yep.
So he's asking for more. He seems to be the third power, you know, guy here. He seems to be the third, I don't know what you call it, like tier or whatever. Like, there's many individuals here, but he's the third most powerful. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. So that was really fascinating to see this dynamic between all these individuals. And yeah, what do you got?
Just another cool thing that is said on the council, that he's Captain Pelion says it's most important imperative that Thrawn's return remains a secret, when he will come and return. So
we
have to trust, and he will come at the right time.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. His grand plan, you know, Thrawn oftentimes, and I told you this when we were starting to listen to Heir to the Empire, which is that Thrawn's biggest problem, and what we see in Rebels, is that, like, Governor Price doesn't listen. You know, Admiral Constantine doesn't listen to Thrawn. Those individuals, they just, that's sort of their, he sets up the plan and they're sort of like, I'm taking him now. It's sort of like Obi-Wan and Anakin, right? Like, we're going to take him together. No, I'm taking him now. It's like, oh, daggone it.
Thrawn's like, we would have long ago, we would have won if everybody would just listen to me.
Exactly.
And he has a point, probably.
Yes, he does. He does. He's a mastermind. So, it's really cool. So, Project Necromancer is the resurrection of Palpatine.
Yeah.
It is to bring back the Emperor. And you have more Star Wars can make Star Wars better. I know that people have problems with Rise of Skywalker. I myself have issues with the sequels. But in general, I want the sequels to be successful, and I want them to make them make sense. So they are what they are. So you have to go in and add more context to these stories now. You have to build, like, make it make sense and drive towards it. And that's, thankfully, some of what The Mandalorian is doing. I know people still they gripe about that, and they want there to be some major retcon. That's, like, never going to happen, though. So they are going to lay these seeds here, and you're going to see about these different projects and see that, okay, they're all interconnected. You know, Andrew brings up a good point with General Pride, because Pride is actually working for the Final Order, which is the Sith fleet. So there's different levels. Like, it's almost like Palpatine and his peeps have, like, they've got different levels to this.
Yeah.
Right? And it's to confuse and to build from the shadows and to refine and make things, you know, go the right way. Because Project Necromancer is, they're working on cloning and rebuilding Palpatine's body, a Force-sensitive host that he could, you know, transfer his essence to.
Right.
And he'll have a son that ends up having a daughter who is Rey.
Right.
Who he will try to, you know, make that connection with. Snoke, for example, is a failed sort of experiment or whatever. He has his own consciousness and he therefore, but is sort of a puppet of Palpatine still. Yeah. And is doing his own thing. So that's that project. Now, what Gideon talks about here in this episode is he's doing his own research in genetics with Dr. Pershing. And Dr. Pershing's research is now gone for now, but it could be returning.
He definitely didn't really... He made it sound like this was part of the plan, and then he decided to do other... I mean, that's what why Elia shut him down, right?
Yeah.
He should have used him for the whole research project.
Yeah.
And he didn't.
And he didn't. And it seemed like it could be that he's an asset lost. Like he might be, you know, willing to turn his efforts over to the New Republic. And that's the last thing that they want. They want to keep this technology and this this resource to themselves.
Yeah.
So it's like if it can't be saved, destroy him, eliminate him or whatever. Maybe they'll come back and they'll reprogram his mind and he'll be more of a cyborg and they'll have like, who knows, some implants or I don't even know. But yeah, so that has been interesting to watch and know, like, Gideon's doing his own thing with the suit, upgrading the suit, making the perfect soldier. That was, you know, Thrawn's thing was he was working on the best fleet, and he's working on the, you know, I forget what it's called, but like the TIE fighter.
Yeah.
Like the decked out TIE fighter that he's working on. So he wants this awesome vessel, this awesome ship. And then Gideon's like, no, we need the perfect trooper, right? Is it a dark trooper? And which phase is it? And now I've eliminated the final flaw and I am now inside of the suit. So it's me, which is crazy. But there's also the cloning bit that he's working on. What does that mean?
Yeah.
And then these other groups, you know, Palpatine's obsession was with the big super weapon.
Yeah.
You know, he wanted the Death Star. So you see how in the Empire they have different
strategies or
fixations in terms of what they want to fixate
That's
on.
That's what they talk about. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he gets reinforcements. He gets TIE interceptors. And the Praetorian Guards.
Praetorian Guards.
Yep.
Yep. And when it's first mentioned, you're sort of like, okay. And you heard rumors going into the season that there were Praetorian Guards because they stand out, right? I mean, if you're working on the crew and you see these guys walk on, you're like, okay. What are these guys? You know, and they're red. They have energy swords and stuff, and it's just they're crazy.
Quick question: do we get did we see them in Rebels?
Praetorian Guards?
No, it was always just the.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, no. Okay.
No, we don't see the Praetorian Guards until The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you will see, similar to this is like Emperor Palpatine had his royal guards, which wore red.
Yeah.
They wore red. And we see them in Return of the Jedi when Luke walks into to face down Palpatine. So they're kind of modeled off of that a little bit, but yet we actually see them fight. We never got to see Palpatine's guards fight, although supposedly in Legends they were pretty awesome and pretty ridiculous, which is cool. So, yeah. Something a force to be reckoned with. So, he's worried about assassination.
Right.
So, he gets these individuals to come protect him. He wants three of them. They're his guard, right? They're going to keep him safe. And he's also got Mandalorian Imperials wearing jetpacks and Beskar now, right? He's trying to reclaim in his own way Mandalore.
Yeah.
And say like eliminate these folks and make the purge complete.
Right.
So that's what we kind of get to later on at the end. But the Shadow Council in general, there could actually be someone there, though, that is on that council.
Okay.
That is giving information to somebody else. The problem is we haven't really shown, we don't know who these people are necessarily. We've seen them for the first time.
That's my problem with it. Yeah. It's kind of, that's not really, the whole theory that was laid out about the armor would be something that Star Wars does, right? There's little tiny hints if you look back and look closely enough that could make sense.
Yeah, and so I'm wondering, let's get into a different topic here, which is, let's go to the armor and the idea that she is the spy, that she's another spy in this, because the cover photo, as you said, when you go to Disney Plus and you click on the episode or you see the episode sort of listed there, you will see her on the cover and it says spies. And then there she is looking up in the distance.
Yeah.
So why would she be the spy and who would she be spying for?
Right.
That's my big thing. Now,
definitely
for Gideon?
For Gideon, because he was so surprised. He had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really make sense that she would spy for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also, that plan, she must have started as a spy a long, long time ago, right? So she's been with the covert a long, long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever she plans, if she had plans in the background, that would have been or is a grand, something, yeah, a grand scheme.
Yeah,
that
because
she's been working on for a long time.
Right. In season one, Moff Gideon sends, you know, he chases down Din Djarin, one of her covert, and they're going down into the sewers, and Moff Gideon's troopers will actually go down and follow.
Yeah.
They try to follow Grogu. They want the child back, and she, yeah, fights them.
Yeah.
She fights all those troopers. Is it season one? Yeah, season one. So it's like, why would she be protecting them? And it just doesn't make sense. She seems to be really embodying the Way. Unless there's been some promise that she can have some prominent position or work at the Great Forge or something. I don't really know. To me, it feels like she is, you know, people have mentioned Rook Cast being someone that she could be, that because she has the little tiny horns or whatever on her helmet.
Yes.
And that being a nod to Darth Maul. Because,
mm-hmm,
They ask, you know, is she a part of Death Watch?
Yeah.
And she was like, Death Watch is no more.
Yeah, she doesn't say yes or no.
Yeah, she doesn't say yes or no. So it's definitely, it's split into multiple factions and, mm-hmm, warring factions, right, and groups. So maybe there's even other groups out there that we don't know about. But she seems to have adopted and gone into the ancient way of Mandalore. But the reasons why she wouldn't be the spy is like you said, she's forged armor for Grogu.
For Grogu, yeah.
And for Bo-Katan. And for Din Djarin.
Yeah.
She's at the heart of all of this and seems to be caring and wanting to restore them to their, prominence again.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
She is definitely set up to be a mysterious character, right?
Yeah.
It would be a great sort of trap for the viewer to speculate, oh, she could be a spy, because we don't know much about her. Mm-hmm. The way she enunciates and talks is not very... You don't really know where she stands, right? Sometimes.
Yeah, no, she's very, they're very clever with her dialogue.
Yes.
And what they do and don't reveal. And we even notice as we're watching it again, the shot of her, Bo-Katan walks, and then you see her slowly turn her head and watch Bo-Katan walk away. And you're like, I don't know. She looks, even just in that movement alone, you're like,
absolutely.
You look a little suspicious.
Yes.
And I don't know what you're about, but, and then you suggest returning to the fleet with these injured. That all could be very good and well and innocent.
Yeah.
But the title is spies. So therefore, they set us up with the idea that watch for spies.
That's what I hope that they do.
Yeah.
That they do. It's clever. They do that well, but I hope she's not the spy, really. Because to me, looking back, you need to give a lot of explanations why she did this and that.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense because she seems to be bringing people together and trying to... She's almost like a guide by the side figure for Din Djarin.
Yeah.
You know, Luke has Obi-Wan Kenobi and Din now has the armorer, right? Yeah. So she's the mystical spiritual guide who is at the heart of their civilization and culture and understands the Way. So who she is... I don't know that they'll ever reveal who the armorer is. That's the thing, is that she's just this mystery being who is out there working, and she's on the moon of Concordia. That's how they survived. But she's true Mandalorian. I mean, she is,
And I mean, what else? We said, well, she couldn't have known that they would run into the Night Watch. The Night Owl people.
Yeah.
And that they had sick people on there that she, you know, could make up
an excuse
go back.
Yeah, yeah.
Other than... They would work together. That could be another theory.
Mm-hmm.
The Night Owl people, maybe they were, you know, like Moff Gideon was on the planet and kind of he had all the resources. Mm-hmm. So maybe he made them do this.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And the armorer was working with them together and they were all in on that big plan. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I would say the most like for me, so moving on from the armorer, I think we've got a lot of people who think that it could be her. We don't really think so. There's a lot of stuff that sort of suggests that it would just take away from all the things that she's done with our main characters.
Yeah.
You know, and it just doesn't feel right at all.
No.
But the Casca Reeves.
Oh yeah, okay.
That is somebody who very well could be the spy. Because what they've done is they've set these characters up. They've been there since the beginning, or they've been there, I guess it was last season, right? But they took Eliah Kane and they turned her into just this communications officer that has 1 to 2 lines.
Yeah.
And then they've given her episodes upon episodes,
right?
And they've made her into something huge.
Yeah.
So I feel like Casca could be that person because when we first saw her, it was in the trailer for season 2. She is wearing what looks like a Sith robe. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
She's wearing a Sith robe. and there's no helmet, no nothing, and she's a spy.
Yeah.
She's in a very spy-like situation. She herself was spying for Lady Bo-Katan, maybe, right? And mm-hmm. was sort of an inside informant. Maybe she is still working for Bo-Katan, and that's a thing. I don't know. But it feels like with the Sith robe situation, mm-hmm. that maybe she is somebody who could be working for Gideon but hasn't been able to keep in close contact because she is deep cover, right? She's deep cover. I don't know. I don't really hear her giving directions and orders and ordering people into a position that leads them into a trap, though. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. I don't see her doing that.
No, true.
Right?
She's just very subtle. I mean, it would be nice because you only get very, very, very subtle hints.
Yeah.
Is nice to, you didn't foresee that. But yeah, what is she actually doing?
Yeah, to lead them there to where they would be in a trap.
Yeah.
Now, the thing, the evidence here is that, like, she has a Jedi Sith-like robe appearance once. Mm-hmm. Moff Gideon is obsessed. In this episode, he mentions that taking parts from the Jedi, right? Parts from, what was it, the New Republic and then Mandalorians. Like, every culture has something that they can sort of offer that he is forging a new path, a new way forward, and he's taking bits that he likes. Like, the Darksaber. Cool. I like that aspect of the Jedi. A Grogu, I'm obsessed with his ability to live long and the Force. I want some of that.
Yeah.
He's also...
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So seemingly he's upset, like the Mandalore. He's got his base on Mandalore and Mandalorian Beskar and how strong and powerful it is. He wants power items and power things to make himself more. Does he have an apprentice, and is that Koska Reeves? Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Was he the apprentice of Darth Vader or Darth Maul at one point? Is that how maybe he knows a bit more about the whole situation that went down on Mandalore? I don't know if that makes sense either. It's a mystery, really, as Gideon and his motivations. There's still a lot of his backstory that we need to uncover and work through. But Koska does seem to be the person that could be a spy of some kind. But it's all about who they report back to. And I'm just not imagining that he has more than one spy, and a spy that would be in the Mandalorians that would report to him, and he would be unaware of what was going on. Yeah. There you go.
I mean, in the last theory that the survivors of the Night Owl are the spies, well, it makes... One thing makes sense. They're really quick. They know where the Forge is, but how do they not know that it's taken by Moff Gideon, right?
Exactly.
That's kind of weird. But then to call them spies, it's not like they have been living among the Mandalorians to spy. They're more like a bait.
Yeah,
I wouldn't call them spies.
No. Yeah, they're not. They could be out there scouting for them or whatever, but they've been there for so long that it doesn't make any sense that they would be embedded in a group spying and reporting back.
Yeah.
So that's tough. Yeah. What we could see in the next episode is that these Mandalorians are in great trouble, right? Yeah. And you could see, let's say you go back to that Carson Teva, and maybe he has a source who is on the inside and they're a member of the Shadow Council.
Yeah.
So I've got this individual pulled up here. She is...
I thought about her when we were talking about it, because I don't know what is... I don't know. Something is different about her. Yeah.
Something's different. She says there are citizens loyal to the Empire on every planet in this galaxy. And that line makes you go, okay, reverse that for a second. There are citizens maybe loyal to the New Republic on every planet in this galaxy, right? Or like she went extreme with that, which is there are people everywhere who you can find someone. Almost like that line says to me, you can find someone in every group and in every city, faction, place, or whatever that will be loyal to this cause. You can find at least one. And if you can find that one, you can turn them and get them to inform for you. And it just makes sense that maybe she would reach out to Carson or the I forget what his rank was, but the guy that he reports to on Coruscant, he goes and asks for aid to help Navarro, right?
Yeah.
Well, if they do have someone who can step in and say, "Hey, there's an issue. Mandalorians are being annihilated or purged on their home planet by Moff Gideon. He has Praetorian guards. He has these different things. If we get one moment of the Shadow Council warning someone else, yeah, and they then go and help and show up and do this rescue thing, that would be sick.
Yeah. Did she agree, though, to send forces to Moff Gideon?
She agreed.
She agreed.
Yes.
But maybe it would be suspicious.
She also said that she was one of the people who agreed for new leadership. When he suggests new leadership, she says, I agree. Yes.
Yeah.
She sort of seconds that. So keeping all that open. Now, the other one that I want to mention.
Yeah.
And I don't know where he's at. I kind of lost track of him. I don't know if he's up on the ships or where he's at.
Yeah.
We've already seen him before, and he's a spy. R5. No.
But he didn't really show up in this
episode. Hold on. How did Carson Teva know where the Mandalorians were? R5.
Uh-huh.
R5 tells him. When he shows up, he comes out. He's like, hey, I don't mean any...
Yeah,
you know,
that's
no,
right.
No,
yeah,
no,
yeah,
whatever,
yeah.
No problems. True. Here, but like Navarro is under attack. You may need to go help your friend. I'm asking you whether you do it or not. We're unable to. The new Republic will not respond to his calls for help.
Yeah.
I can't talk today. But anyways, so R5 is there. He is a spy. He is a spy among them reporting to the New Republic. So there you go. Is he still there? Is he someone who is going to report back again their location? Did they ever deal with that? Did they just sort of say, okay, now, I mean, why keep R5 around? I'd have to go back and comb through and see if they...
I was going
to
say, he's not really in the episode, though.
No, he's not.
I think that's a cool idea, but why would he then not? There's no shot of him at all.
Yeah. And well, I haven't combed through directly here to see where he's at, because I feel like he's in the background somewhere.
Okay. Yeah.
I do feel like he's just floating around, and it's just not addressed as to where he is. So, but he technically is a spy.
Okay. Yeah.
Technically, he's embedded with a group of people and reporting back to Carson Teva. Come on now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now he's also Peli Matos, and he was a part of the rebellion taken in there and sort of, you know, yeah. I don't know.
There's one more comment that I just thought is interesting. I don't think that's true, but someone said, given the way Dave and Favre are masters at their craft, I would almost not be surprised to see the Armorer not be a spy and someone like Greef Karger show up as one. And I'm like, remember that scene when he handed Mando beverage to celebrate?
Coruscant?
From Coruscant?
From Coruscant.
And I was like,
yeah.
Why did he say that? Something is off with that scene.
Yeah.
Like a detail, why would you, I don't know. To mention that it's from Coruscant was really weird to me. But I don't think, I mean, this whole, he found his way and his new home, and I don't know
if that really would make sense. Yeah. Sometimes even people, like, I liken him to Lando Calrissian, who you make a deal to save your people, right? Or to save your operation. And if he's making money and he's a businessman and things are going right, maybe. I mean, that would be very interesting if he were that
just that scene,
not a
how
spy,
he
but
over
yeah,
the
something.
Drink. It was really weird to me.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but I mean, getting away from the whole spy discussion, there's many suspects. Oh, do we have another one?
To transition into who else could be a spy and to talk about our little guy who we love so much,
yeah.
Grogu.
Please, I wanted to talk about
IG-12.
How awesome I thought that was.
Yeah, that he can speak. Yes,
that,
no.
Oh my goodness, that scene was so brilliant that they brought him back. Because we were wondering, why make all this fuss about IG-11?
Yeah.
And then you get another... Din's whole point was, I don't trust droids. I only want this one droid that I trust.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just accepts our... Okay, whatever. Let's go.
Right,
okay,
exactly.
I don't have time for this. Okay. But then he comes back. IG-11 comes back as IG-12, and he will be a vehicle for Grogu
to do more things,
and to talk, to communicate more.
Mm-hmm,
and it's hilarious. And we see just this little comic moment of Din having to be a parent.
Yes, yes.
And deal with his little toddler,
mm-hmm.
you could say. I mean, I think Grogu's not a baby anymore. He's a toddler.
Yes, yeah.
He's just a... Trying different foods, not really realizing they all have to pay for that. He's just learning things, and Daddy Din is gets a little bit annoyed, and he's like, I can't deal with that.
I can't deal with this right now. Nope. I gotta go. And I was like, wow, saving that line for later. But yeah, that was hilarious. And I thought, cool. The Enzelans did this. They figured out how to remove whatever. It's safe, and you can use him as a vehicle, and he can run, he can jump, he can do different things.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for him to load, you know, I mean, right, not right now, but like later on, you can upgrade IG-12 and put a blaster on him.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, Grogu's out there, you know, just like us in a video game operating a vehicle and stuff. I think it's really cool. And the fact that he can communicate yes, no, yes, 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 yes. He's so happy. He's so happy that he's in that droid and he has this unit. It's just, it is really neat.
Genius.
So now what if it's that Greef Karga kept tabs on the Mandalorians through IG-12? And IG-12 is sort of a spy.
He insists, Grogu, no, let him try it.
Yeah,
Yeah, give up on him yet.
And so it seems comical and it seems, you know, like whatever, but maybe he does build in, like Greef comes to their aid. He's like, you came to mine, here I am, mm-hmm. I'm back. Mm-hmm. IG-12, let me know if something was wrong. Like I have eyes on, like maybe he's got some sort of setup there. Who knows? I don't know what that would be. I'm really digging deep here for spies. If you get them, you know, talking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know. So. I'm reading just the scene where he hands over that bottle.
Yeah.
Whatever is in there, I don't know. Little welcome. He says, little welcome gift to celebrate our new neighbors.
Yeah. Yeah. Because.
He hands it over. That's all the way from Coruscant. So you might want to wait for a smaller gathering before you open it.
Yeah.
And then we never see.
So you might want to wait for a smaller gathering before you open it, meaning that, like, this is not going to go very far. They're all going to want to drink from this. It's high end, you know, whatever
it is.
Okay,
maybe I'm reading too much into it, but just, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I get what you mean. It's just a connection to Coruscant. We're looking for a sort of, like, how did he get that? Did he just import it, or did somebody from Coruscant send that and say, like, hey, thank you, or, but for what? You know, I don't know, right? It's odd for sure. So yeah, but anyways, IG-12 is really cool. And just to see Grogu running around like that is, it makes more sense too. Now why he can go with that group and he can have some protection and he can move quickly and be more independent. And Din doesn't have to do everything. And I think it's cool. It's a way to kind of level him up and keep him still a child running around. It's very Star Wars. It's very just wild. It's very creative to put him in there. I never saw that coming, and I thought that was really, 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 really cool. So
yeah, and he has an epic moment in this episode when he steps in between.
Oh yeah, Axe Wolves and Paz.
Yeah,
they're fighting, and that's the bit too. Is, you know, Bo-Katan, you know, if you so she is letting them all kind of know that she messed up.
Yeah,
and she made a mistake. She trusted him. Their defeat was sort of, I forget the word she used, but there was no way in which they were going to win.
Yes.
She saw no way in which that they could win. It was very obvious that they were about to all be destroyed.
Yeah.
So to make that even worse, they surrender.
Yeah.
Right? So instead of...
She wanted to save her people.
Yeah, and the thought that it would save... And no. Once their guns are down and once they're de-armed, boom, we're coming in and taking you out, completely purging you. That's the wild piece, is that's what's so hurtful about this, is that, like, they did surrender. That's a war crime. I mean, Moff Gideon should be tried and absolutely dealt with there, and the New Republic knows that. And, it's also shady that the New Republic hasn't mentioned that he escaped, and they haven't put out, like, bounties or notices for people, and that one of their own captains, Captain Teeva, doesn't know.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
They should know about that. I've been saying Teeva. I don't know if it's Teeva or Teeva. It might be Teeva. Anyway, sorry about that. She reveals a lot of stuff here in terms of their people, and they're still fractured. She's talking to Din. Golly, when he has that moment with her.
Yeah, I have pulled up here.
You do? Okay, if you want to read that. It? Yeah, because it was great.
He's like talking about how for thousands of years they have been, you know, they have been the people who rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
They've been in hiding. We're on the verge of extinction, is what he says. And for thousands of years, we have survived. And he goes on and saying that it doesn't mean anything to him, right? Ranks, people, bloodlines, or even the Darksaber.
Yep, exactly.
It means nothing to me or my people, nor does station or bloodline. What means more to me is honor. And Bo-Katan's like, whoa, and loyalty and character. These are the reasons I serve you, Lady Kreese. Your song is not yet written.
Yeah. Yep.
I will serve you until it is. Boom.
Boom. Yep, I will serve you until it is. It's pretty epic. This is the way.
And he walks away, and she's like, "Well."
She's like, "Wow, yeah. There are more important things in the saber, and it you've got to grow. We've got to grow beyond that. We've got to get back to a society that was honorable and where we valued these things." It was a great lesson for kids. It's great for all of us. It was really, really cool. We talk about sometimes who's the most powerful and who, you know, who has the biggest weapons, the biggest fleet, or the what. No. It's more about like your leadership and wisdom and guidance and trying to figure out the
your
best
actions.
Way your actions. Yeah. What you decide to do with what you have. So yeah, really, 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 really cool moment there for sure. So the rest of it's pretty action packed though. You know, we had the little chess match there, and then Grogu does break up that fight as we talked about, which was cool. We know the armor goes back.
She goes back and they give us a little bit of that, and all we see is they get ready to board the big ship, right?
Yeah. We just leave her right there. We're not sure if they're going to be under attack. We know later on Moff Gideon is firing up the ships to go attack them, which is fine. He says they still have the element of surprise. But when he says that later, they've already been attacked. First of all, there's this epic monster that, like, she said too, ancient monsters or species have awakened.
Right.
So the Mythosaur is one of those individuals who, like, her species that has awakened because of all the blasting.
Someone
and stuff
said,
like that.
"I hope the Mythosaur just comes to their rescue."
Oh my gosh, that would be this is the way.
Mm-hmm.
That would be crazy.
Right.
That would be crazy. And perhaps who knows? Yeah, if they've, I mean, that's what Quill says at one point, that your people once tamed.
Yep.
The ancient Mythosaur. Powerful, powerful individual. So, or being. They go down, as they're heading down in here, they see the forge again. It's awesome. Then they're attacked, they're ambushed or whatever. It's a trap. And it feels like they're pinned into the point where they can't get away.
Yeah.
And as soon as they're pinned down, that's when Axe Wolves takes off.
Peace out.
He's going to go. People think he's a spy. I don't think so. I think they really were working together, like, okay, we are trapped here. We do need reinforcements. We need to let people know that the Empire is here. We need to get our folks warned. There's no communications. You have to break through that cloud or the atmosphere.
Yeah.
To make communication. There is no ship, as far as we know, that he can take, because the armorer took the ship as well. So he's got to use his jetpack just to get high enough to do that, and he's got to do it fast.
Yeah,
which is pretty wild that he's going to do that. So anyways, that's what he's doing. Paz and the rest of them are going on. They're able to kind of rout those Imperials, but they're really falling back, and they just charge on blindly. You think anybody would stop and see the hallway has changed and this is Imperial now.
Yeah.
But they're like halfway down the hallway before they realize what's going on.
And then Din's captured.
So that's going to be intense. Why take him to the debriefing room, though?
I know.
We're all glad
they didn't kill him.
Yeah.
I mean, they couldn't really kill him. We know that. But what is he going to do with him? Is he going to question him? Why didn't he...
Does he still want the child? Does he still want Grogu? Is he going to say, "Hand over Grogu, I'll give you Din Djarin back"? No one's going to do that. They know that's not what Din would want.
No.
So it doesn't, I'm not sure what information he's going to get from Din, or if he's just using him to bait them in case, or I don't even know, right? Why not just, if you want to purge them all and defeat them, why not just do that?
Yeah. And why did, I mean, didn't he see that Grogu was there? He
could
have right there said, "Okay, Din, you can go back. We take Grogu." If that was still his, right? That was in season two. Mm-hmm. All he wanted was Grogu.
Yes. And now it's almost like he's evolved beyond that, because he's like Dr. Pershing. He's like telling Elia Kane, eliminate him. Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? Has he established something? Has he gotten to a level in research where he's like, "We're good, and I don't need this person anymore"? But then what is it that Din can offer? Is Din well-connected? Does he need Navarro still removed? Why is he... He seems to be very much like he wants to take back Navarro. He wanted the pirates to go in there and route out Greef Karga.
Yeah.
His old facility is there. One of his own old cloning facilities was there. We see that, Cara Dune and others go up there and they... We see these tanks, there's like these Snoke individuals who are in those tanks. So we don't know what he is, who or what he's cloning, but it's, there's definitely more going on. They say this last episode is stacked. They say it is stacked with stuff that's going down.
Three more days for us.
This will be dropping for you guys here on Sunday and recording on Sunday. So we've got Monday, Tuesday, and then we'll be up early Wednesday. But man, it is wild. I am just Stoked for it.
Yeah.
Now, the craziest part of this whole episode is that all along we've been learning about Paz. Paz Vizsla and Jon Favreau's character. It just heartbreaking what happens here. Also, so like, I mean, I never was like, I don't know. It was, I wasn't expecting him to have this epic moment, you know?
Yeah.
He's always been kind of like, when Din shows up, apostate. You know, he's like, you're an apostate. Yeah. You're not a Mandalorian. Yeah. Get out of here. I mean, he's just ridiculous. He's committed to the way. He is of the House Vizsla, so he is from the Sist of Mandalore. Mm-hmm. He might not have been there when it was destroyed, or maybe he had never been there, was younger and taken in to either Death Watch or with this covert that the armor has, he's been raised, it feels like, sort of as a teenager or whatever, by the armor and got away and has his own son now and everything. And so he covers the rear. He covers the rear while the rest of them get out. Yep. She uses the Darksaber to cut their way out of this trap that they're in. And then we go out and he just keeps taking down these guys.
Yeah.
It was wild. And when he turns back and she's like, we're good. We're all good. Get out of here. He's like, there's too many of them. Right. That line was ridiculous. And he just tells her, yeah, this is the way. She gets everybody out. It is just, he's knocking
actually,
them out.
Yeah. He actually does take them all out.
He does, yeah, but he shuts the door, right? Go. There are too many. It's just simple lines that just are delivered. So, yeah, this is the way, and he turns and takes them out, and Bo's like, oh, my God.
The music also. The music hit at the same moment. That was epic.
Just chills, and she's got a retreat. She sees someone who is one of those that you would have called, that they called crazies, right? In the beginning, in season two, they call these individuals, like, radicals and zealots and just committed to this cult. They're a part of a cult. And you see him out here, he's actually, it's just honor.
Yeah.
It's just some of these older traditions and this way that is more, like as Din said, what they value is actually, it's actually what we should be valuing, right? It's some of these things that we look up to these moments and we're like, this is awesome. This is the way. This is what you do. This is how you do it. And so, it's all landing here in season three. It's all kind of coming together, and I just love it. But yeah, he beats all these guys, and you think, all right, wow, he's maybe going to collapse and just be taken in, and then the freaking Praetorian guards come out, and they look scarier. They felt scarier to me in this than they did in the Snoke scene, big time, because they're in a place you don't expect, and you know already that Rey and Kylo Ren have fought these individuals at this level, so you know how tough they are.
Yeah.
And you're like, Paz doesn't stand a chance, but he holds his own for just a few here. Boom, boom, boom. He's fighting three of them. Three on one. So you're like, there's no way he can.
No. Yeah.
But and he's one of the best of both tribes. He's one of the best Mandalorian, one of their top. And just to see him take these guys on, it's like, oh, it's rough. Yeah. It's rough watching that.
And now we know they're there. So someone has to be able to stand up to them. And I'm like, okay, they have to rescue. And it's kind of like already looking into the next episode.
We're into predictions now. What do you think? Yeah.
They have to rescue Din. They have to escape themselves somehow. Something's also going to happen up above the planet to the ships.
Right. We're going to have a space battle possibly, right? We've got TIE interceptors, bombers, etc. So a space battle with the armor going back. All right. And then we got to rescue Din, as you said.
And, I mean, you know, Grogu is his foundling.
Son. Absolutely.
I just want to see Grogu.
Dude, go off.
Go Gohan on that.
I know. I think, so someone made a joke. They were like, okay, how Rey and Kylo Ren dealt with the Praetorian guards. It's a long fight scene. It's beautiful. It's actually really good. And anybody who says that it wasn't a good fight scene, it was cool. It was actually really awesome.
Yeah.
And but they have trouble dealing with all those different Praetorian guards. Yoda walks in, and when he's facing down Emperor Palpatine, this is in episode 3, when he's facing Palpatine's guards, they weren't at the level that they are later on when Palpatine gets guards, but still, one hand swats him with the Force. They pass out. He knocks those guards out with one swat. And he's like, now on to the big guy.
Yeah.
So there you go. And now, is Grogu going to do something similar? Is he going to come out and force battle these guys?
I hope he's at least going to do something bigger than we expect him to do.
I mean, what if he's controlling IG-12 and one of them strikes and he just grabs the hand of that Praetorian guard?
Yeah.
just mid just stops and boom. And then he lifts his other hand, and it's not the hand of IG-12, but it's his own little hand, and then boom, mm-hmm. force mm-hmm. pushes him away. Like
something like that.
Something. Yeah. Just one or two epic little moments with him would be huge, I feel like. So,
Now, do you think we are going to see someone we haven't seen this whole time?
Won't surprise me at all if you hear Thrawn's voice or you see Thrawn.
Okay.
Won't surprise me at all. So, because we know we're getting that in Ahsoka. We know that's coming up. It's already been confirmed. And they knew they were going to have Celebration. And so the big Thrawn reveal is out there. It's happening.
Yeah.
Right? In a major way. He's been mentioned here. So, to have him say something would be cool. I don't know who's going to show up. I really don't know how this is all going to work out. They do get away, so they're on the run. The Mandalorians are on the run. They're in Moff Gideon's, essentially his Imperial base. They're probably going to use the Forge in some way that we don't expect to make a defense.
Because some of them know it really well.
Right, right. And the Armorer may, I don't know, she's up in the with the fleet, so they're going to be having their own battle up there.
Yeah.
And I'm just not sure what's going to happen. You know, can they, it feels like they should be able to, with a light cruiser and everything that they have up there, they should be able to take on some TIE interceptors and some bombers. That doesn't seem like a whole lot for Moff Gideon. We haven't, I mean, unless he has a light cruiser on the other side of the planet or something else that they haven't seen that is been hidden, you know what I'm saying? Or that can jump right in from Concordia maybe, or something nearby, and jumps over and they get into a space battle. Because it is epic Star Wars to have a space battle going on. That's what they do in all the big, at the end of episode one, right? You've got the battle in Theed, you've got the battle with the Gungans, you've got the battle with the Trade Federation up in the sky. Same thing in Return of the Jedi. You've got Forest Moon of Endor, Han and Leia trying to infiltrate and take down the shield generator. Luke is fighting a force battle on the Death Star, and Admiral Ackbar is recognizing the trap that is there, and Lando Calrissian, Gold Leader, is maneuvering through space and giving them more time, right?
Yeah.
So it's epic, it's awesome, and I hope we get something like that. Mm-hmm. Space battle, land battle, flashing back and forth between the two. Hard to do maybe in this amount of time, but then you think about those movies and you're like, well, wait a second, actually, definitely doable. There's a lot of story to tell there, and you've built up this whole time to that. TV is for this longer form. You're adjusting the episode lengths and stuff. I feel like
You can also make a 1.5 hour episode, right?
They could.
No one says you can't.
Yeah. So we really don't know. I don't even know how to make a prediction. This is why I love it so much, is that I don't even really know what could be happening. Like, does Luke Skywalker show back up again? Right.
Oh yeah, he's out there, right? I mean,
he could show up again. Perhaps, but that's not the case. Like, that's not his battle.
I don't think so. Yeah.
Yeah. He's reestablishing his own order, his own thing. And there you go. Grogu has decided to leave and go do his own thing. So you feel like Ahsoka is an ally of Bo-Katan's. So maybe, Sabine, but I'm just thinking of big people that could show up. That would be epic. Harrison Dula, does she show up with the New Republic and Zeb or something? And Zeb and,
I mean,
and,
yeah,
and,
Zeb was already there.
Carson Teva? Yeah, maybe. Don't know. So it's just wild. I think there's a lot of things that could happen, and I'm really hoping that if you guys listen to this episode and you go into that finale and you have thoughts, we're going to be doing a breakdown of that. We're going to do our initial thoughts Wednesday morning right away for you guys to hear, and then we're going to follow up again with an episode full of transmissions or just a deeper breakdown of the episode, because I'm excited. We'll get up early Wednesday morning and watch it, react to it, and then come back and do something more polished with your guys' thoughts. So, and those thoughts will be at the top of the show. That's something I want to do. I know sometimes we save them towards the end. We get talking for a while, but I like to cover them at the beginning so you guys get a shout out, and it's my way of showing those folks I appreciate you guys. I appreciate your comments, your transmissions, your messages on Instagram, the follows, the downloads, all of it, the reviews. So thank you guys so much, because I'm having a blast. I am having the best time just talking about Mandalorian, seeing the Star Wars universe just expand. We watched Star Wars Celebration and had a freaking blast.
Yes.
And we talked about, like, we're debating whether or not we should go to Tokyo, for crying out loud. Like, we're that excited about Star Wars right now. And there's so many good things coming that I just don't know how you couldn't be. And they've done a good job with the Mandoverse.
Yes.
They really have. And I don't want it to go super crazy, but you know we've got a big movie with Dave Filoni. You know we've got multiple seasons of Ahsoka. Season 4 is already confirmed for Mandalorian, so it's just looking so good. This is the way. So, all right. Anything else? Anything else you wanted to touch on or that we missed? Or
I think we really covered it all.
And
this was a jam packed episode. I think I don't know. I think I would crown it as my favorite episode so far.
Yeah, right. I know. It was the one. It was definitely really good. So glad we watched it twice too, so we could go back and take that lens and try to look through for the spies and stuff. So sneaky. Dave and John are definitely, they're good. They are good at crafting a very suspenseful, just a good ride, you know?
Yes.
So yeah. All right, friends. Hey, thank you guys so much. Like I said, I really hope you guys will want to maybe join us for our just some happy hour, you know, shenanigans or whatever in a month and a half now, actually. So last week of May, we're going to be doing that. May 4th, we might even be going live there. Some Star Wars drinks as well, too. Something we might make for the show because May the 4th is, you know, coming up soon. And there's, by the way, discounted games, which we will be getting. Don't let me forget about that. If you're out there on May the 4th and there is a deal or a sale going down for video games, let me know. I finally reactivated my Steam account. We got a PC so I can stream and I can actually play games now. Yeah. So Cameron, I know you're listening out there somewhere. Let me know. Don't let me forget. Tell me what the deals are.
Is there a multiplayer in this game
that you
can play online?
The new one that's coming out?
In Jedi Survivor.
No, I don't think so. No, I think it's just all about the story and stuff too. So that's coming out when? Hold on. When is that? Can you research real quick?
Isn't it 28? April 28th?
April 28th? Okay. Wow.
I saw
Look at
so
Lottie
much,
go right there.
I saw so much on Star Wars Celebration. So.
She was locked in. Yeah.
Let's see if I'm right. April 28th.
April 28th. Okay, so we'll get that, and then we'll be playing that for May 4th, and maybe you guys want to, if you want to pop in there and chat, we can do that too as well, just for anybody that's really, you know, kind of come on the live stream and hang out. But all right, again, thank you guys so much. Please leave that review. It does help the podcast. If you've listened this far and you wouldn't mind, just go to your, you know, if you can go to Apple Podcasts and leave that review, it'd be great, or anywhere else, you know, whatever podcasting player you're using, it definitely helps. So. Thanks so much. We'll be back with the season finale. And as always, remember,
this is the way.
This is the way. Hey friends, thanks for listening to this week's episode. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, leave us that review, check out our extra episodes on Patreon and Apple Premium. This is the way.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com. Save big.